John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Morning, church. Morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Psalms 23. If you turn your scriptures there. As you're turning there, this is a very well-known passage. You've probably heard this several times, this Psalms read. This passage is well-known. It is known by believers and non-believers. I can't even help to think as you even read the Psalms, I can't help but think of the rap song from the 90s by Coolio called Dangerous Minds, and he actually even quotes part of the Psalms in the song. So this is a very well-known passage, like I said, by believers and non-believers. It's also a very well passage that is misinterpreted. Is used wrongly. So this morning, I want to look at it. As I was preparing and thinking about these seniors, what would I want to say to them before they graduated? What do I want to say to the bride of Christ this morning? So this morning, I want to look at the Psalms 23. So would you stand this morning with me as we read this aloud? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercies shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning. God, as we open Your sacred, precious Word this morning and read it. God, I pray for us this morning that Your Spirit would come and would open our eyes, open our hearts and our ears to come to a clear understanding of this precious Word this morning. God, it is only by You that we can understand it. So I pray this morning, would you do the work only You can do? It's in Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the writer David starts this Psalms off with, "The Lord is my shepherd." So we start, "The Lord." What Lord are we talking about? I think Charles Spurgeon put it best when he writes this in his commentary. And it should be behind me on the board. The position of this Psalms is worthy of notice. It follows the 22nd, which is peculiarly the Psalms of the Cross. There are no green pastures, no still waters on the other side of the 22nd Psalms. It is only after we have read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we can come to the Lord is my shepherd. We must experience and know the value of the bloodshed, to see the sword has awakened against the shepherd, before we are able to truly know the sweetness of the good shepherd's care. I think Charles Spurgeon put it best when he starts it out. David cries out, the Lord is mine. He understood where this came after. He was talking about the Lord of Psalms 22, the one who would come and who would die, who in our best thing we had to offer was filthy rags. The best of our deeds was nothing we could offer. But in that, he would sin and he would come and he would die. That's the Lord he's crying out to. And we know the name because Elijah comes and he reads it just a little bit ago. Jesus comes and he says, I am that good shepherd. I am the one. I'm the one Psalms 22 was proclaiming. I'm the one that all Scripture is proclaiming towards. And not only does he say the Lord, he says, but the Lord is mine. Take that word, mine. He makes it personal. Not only the Lord is mine, he's not speaking. A lot of times we like to take this and we turn this to a universal. This is not universal. He's not speaking on behalf of anybody but besides himself. The Lord is mine. He's not speaking on behalf of Israel. He's speaking on behalf of David. This morning, you need to ask yourself that question. Do you have a personal relationship? Is the Lord of Psalms 22, is that the Lord you're crying out to? Is the one who came and the bloodshed was spilled, is that the one you cry out to? Is that the one who you state is my shepherd? I can't help but to think, well, Romans 8 says, and he foreknew. That language foreknew talks about an intimate, personal relationship. And that's what David's talking about here, is that he has an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. So when he makes a statement and he goes on, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. That imagery of the shepherd would come naturally to the people of Israel. Would come naturally. Think about it. Let's walk through the Old Testament just real quickly. Think about Joseph and his family. They were shepherds. When his brothers came to Egypt, what did he tell them to tell Pharaoh they were? Shepherds. So that he would put them over land. Moses. We get a good insight on the first third of his life and the last third of his life. But in the middle, what was he? He was a shepherd. And then he becomes the shepherd of the people of Israel. David, before he becomes the great king, what was he? He was a shepherd. They understood what a shepherd was. They understood what a shepherd did. A shepherd meant so much. So when he starts off and he makes a statement, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. This Lord, the one who came and died, who I have a personal relationship, who is doing everything for me, he's my shepherd. He's my provider, my protector, my care, one who takes care of me. So if he's the shepherd, what does that make us? Thanks, Pat. She got me always. Sheep. Over and over again. The Bible refers to as a sheep. Sheep are dumb. sheep are ignorant. Do you realize, Caitlin, if a sheep doesn't have someone cut off its wool, that it'll fall over and die? Do you understand that? It'll get so heavy, it would fall over and it would die. It can't cut it off itself, so it has to have somebody to take care of it. That's when we come to the understanding, when we are humbled by the gospel, we understand we are like sheep. But here's the thing, sin makes us think we are predators that is in no need of a Savior. It makes us think, I can do this on my own. I don't need you. But in all essence, we are sheep. We can't take care of ourselves. We can't even defend ourselves. So when he, with that mindset, when he transitions to verse 2 right here, and he says, he leads me beside still waters. He also says he makes me lie down in green pastures. When he says those things, he's talking about God is taking care of me in my physicalness. He's taking care of me. Just like that sheep would need someone to cut the wool off of them just so they could survive, not fall over and die. We can't live. If he don't put the breath alone in our lungs, we cannot live. So in that, he's meeting. You woke up this morning by his mercies and his grace, not by any of your own accord. So he's meeting you in your physical. But then he transitions in verse 3, and he goes in and he says, he restores my soul. He goes from talking about the shepherd taking care of physical needs to the shepherd taking care of spiritual needs. He restores. You check out that language over and over. He's doing the work. He's completing it. He does the work of justification. He is the one who has brought salvation to us. Not anything about us, but He has brought it. We are justified and we are made right before a holy God, as we have just sang about, because of what Christ has done and not by anything that we could ever do or will do. But here's the great thing, is that it's not done. It's not like, here, you're justified, figure this out on your own once we get there. No, the shepherd keeps on. He keeps maintaining. He keeps at the work. See, there's people I don't agree with out there. I had to take a class on spiritual disciplines, and in the class they kept telling me over and over, well, you need to do this to become holy. And all I could do was just disagree the whole time, because I can't make myself holy. I can't make myself righteous. Only Christ can sanctify me and do the work. So when he goes on, he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. He's proclaiming that, hey, not only will I restore you, not only will I justify you, but I will do the work of sanctification. I will lead you in those paths of righteousness for my name's sake. And to even make this even more clear, he skip down to verse 5, and he says, the pronoun changes, but hey, it's still talking about God is doing a work, not any work that I'm doing. You, speaking on behalf of God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He's doing the work. He's not asking you to do anything. Because you think about that. What he says, come and sit and eat, and I'm going to take care of it. Come, sit, eat. I'll take care of that. Think about that. Seniors, understand this. He will do the work. He will give the growth. He will give the growth. For some of us in this room, we forgot about that even. We've been trying to do things on our own. And we forgot we have a God Almighty who loves us so much. Who he's doing the work. He's leading us in the past. He's preparing the table before our enemies. He's restoring. Rest in that comfort. Rest in that peace. Find your hope in that this morning. Not anything else we have to offer, but find it in that. Because when our theology of who God is and who we are come to a right understanding, we can come to a true understanding of Psalms 23. Because now we have the right mindset of who God is. Our right mindset, if you jump back up to verse 1, look, every time he refers to himself, he goes in verse 1, he says, I shall not want. I shall not want. He didn't say, I shall not need. He said, I shall not want. There's a complete difference. Think about that. I mean, Elijah, you'd like to have a brand new Porsche, wouldn't you? You would want a nice new Porsche, wouldn't you? You'd be ripping up the streets in it, wouldn't you? Yeah. What color would you want? Black? Black Porsche? Man, that'd be nice. But do you need it? No. You don't need that. And that's what he's saying is, I shall not want. Why is he not going to want? Because everything he needs, everything, that hope we just talked about, it's found in his good shepherd. It's found in him. For us today, we know, as Elijah just read, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Everything we need is found in Christ. He's the one who leads us. He's the one who helps us in those paths of righteousness. So understand that. It's in Christ, in Christ alone, that we have everything. And think about what Paul says in Philippians 4. He says, I have learned to be content in every situation. I've learned to be content. Where was he writing that from? Prison. He was in prison. Because everything he had was in Christ. I was reading about a missionary this week, and it talked about he was in prison in a dark cell locked away. And he said sometimes he had to just get up and dance in the joy of who Christ was. That's all he had was Christ. Because he understood everything was being met in his need with Christ. Because in verse 4, you know, it reads, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because for you are with me. For you are with me. Charles Spurgeon had another quote about verse 4 here. He says, yet though I walk as if the believer did not quicken his pace when he came to die, but still calmly walked with God. To walk indicates a steady advance of a soul which knows its road, knows its end, resolves to follow the path, feels quick, feels quite safe, and therefore perfectly calm, composed. The dying saint is in no flurry. He does not run as though he were alarmed, nor stand still though he was going no further. He is not confounded nor ashamed, and therefore keeps his old pace. Guys, seniors, it would be great. Church, it'd be great if we could just sit here all day and not have to go out, and we could throughout this week, because we wouldn't face things. Our adversary, he wouldn't find us in the valleys of the shadow of death. Let me paint the picture. Let me get that picture in your mind, how it would go. These predators, they would know, hey, eventually this green grass is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. So they're going to have to move to another pasture and eat. So the way a predator thinks is a predator sets up and waits for them to move from one pasture to another. Guys, we're sitting in a time of a green pasture. We are in the Word. We're being fed. We got to move. Can't just stay here. And our enemy looks to destroy, to seek, and to kill. He waits like a predator. But think about what he says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, knowing that you protect me, you look out for me, you watch after me. Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have everything I need in Christ. Because as believers, we're headed to the end of verse 6 is what it says. Where we look forward to this day that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, as you go now, whether if it's college, work, as you are going, may everything be found in Christ. May all your hopes, everything. He did the work of salvation. He'll do the work of sanctification. May everything you have be found in Christ. And for everybody else, the same goes for you. Because our ultimate goal is right here at the end of 6, what it says. Because no matter what, because he is my shepherd, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we come and we lift you up this morning. We give you the praise and the glory for who you are. God, you are the one. You are the one who has come and done the work, who has renewed us. God, who is the only thing good in us is found in you, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But God, this morning, I pray for the one, whoever they may be, God, who could not start off as David did in the Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd," because in truth, they don't have a personal relationship with you. God, they don't know the Lord of Psalms 22. They don't know that God. They don't know the God who in his wrath against sin gave his perfect Son. God, I pray that through the work of your Spirit that it would point them to you. God, as we continue to lift us up as we go this week, God, would we have comfort in knowing our good shepherd is there with us. And no matter whatever valley we have to walk through, our end results as believers is that we will end with you one day. That should bring us joy, hope, and comfort. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.